Tomo Myoho Rengekyo. Hi, welcome. Thanks for being here. Today we're going to read the third doctrine, Gosho, a letter written by Nichiren to one of his very staunch followers, actually a follower who's actually a leader of a large group in Shimosa, I believe, province. Took part in a debate with a Tendai monk who, Tendai school, as you know, by now has been polluted by, I think it's Pure Land or True Word, one of the two, I think True Word. And so it's not the Tendai that you think of from Tendai himself, Chiche, in China, and it's not the Tendai of Dengyo. It's the polluted Tendai of these other schools. So it's Tendai only in name. And Toki Jonin goes and has a debate with this guy. And he writes to report to Nichiren what occurred. I'll leave the results for you to find out as we read this. So you have a little morsel, a little carrot. As it were. It's an interesting dialogue from Nichiren and the debate explicitly calling out earlier teachings to the Lotus Sutra and their actual purpose. So let's just get into it. And you'll hear from Nichiren something you've been hearing me say quite often, and Nichiren say as well, of course. I have read through your letter, Nichiren begins. In it, you report that you said, quote, the ninth volume of the annotations on the words and phrases of the Lotus Sutra states, freeing oneself from the threefold world by means of the provisional teachings is termed an ephemeral liberation. To which the priest Ryosho Bo, the Tendai monk he was debating with, replied, there is no such passage. Yet, in the section that deals with the lifespan chapter of the Lotus Sutra, the ninth volume on the words and phrases does indeed say, quote, from the passage, there is no one who emerges from the ephemeral, so on and so forth, to the passage, the ephemeral teachings of the past were expounded for the sake of the truth. The meaning of the text is that freeing oneself from the world by means of the provisional teachings is termed an ephemeral liberation. In other words, it's a thoughtful liberation, but not an actual one. There are no people, he continues, of the three vehicles who have not freed themselves from the threefold world, and no beings of the human and heavenly realms who have failed to escape the three evil paths. Yet these are both termed ephemeral liberation. The ninth volume of the words and phrases of the Lotus Sutra reads, quote, there is no one who emerges from the ephemeral and yet fails to enter the true. Therefore we know that the ephemeral teachings of the past were expounded for the sake of the truth. Understand that when he says sake of the truth, he's reading literally from the sutras, and this is from a passage that's already, to give you context, established as the Lotus Sutra is the truth, right? Because Shakyamuni starts out by saying, for these 40 and more years, I have not yet expounded the truth. So here is the truth. That is the Lotus Sutra. So that's what's referred to here. The lifespan chapter states, this is the Lotus Sutra, good men, the thus come one observes how among living beings there are those who delight in inferior teachings, meager in virtue and heavy with defilement, so on and so forth. Because living beings have different natures, I preach different doctrines. See, I've pointed this out many times, right? We all have our unique paths. Dot, dot, dot. This, the Buddha's work. I have never for a moment neglected. Tendai and Miao Lo are commenting on this passage. In this passage of the sutra, all the teachings, from the Flower Garland Sutra, which was expounded immediately after the Buddha's enlightenment, and which combines both specific and perfect teachings, to the 14 chapters that comprise the theoretical teaching of the Lotus Sutra, are termed inferior teachings. Those who delight in them are called meager in virtue and heavy with defilement. And the liberation achieved through them is shown to be an ephemeral liberation. Thinking about something isn't actualizing something, so look at it that way. This being the case, concerning the Flower Garland School, which relies on the Flower Garland Sutra, the Dharma Characteristics School, which upholds the Profound Secrets Sutra, the Three Treatises School, which is based upon the Wisdom Sutras, the True Word School, which relies upon the Mahavacharana Sutra, the Pure Land School, which cherishes the Meditation Sutra, and the Zen School, which upholds the Lankavatara Sutra, as well as the other various schools which rely on their respective sutras. Even if their adherents read and recite the sutra their school relies on, just as that sutra teaches, they will neither free themselves from the threefold world nor escape the three evil paths. Even less will those who term these sutras true teachings, or who claim that they surpass the Lotus Sutra. They are like people spitting at the heavens or pounding at the earth in rage. With respect to this doctrine, after the passing of the Thus Come One in India, for more than 1500 years, the Buddha's 24 successors, such as Nagarjuna and Vasubandhu, knew of it but did not reveal it. In China, for more than 1,000 years, others did not know of it. Only Tendai and Miao Lo gave a rough account of it. However, it seems that they did not explain its true significance. And the same was true of the great teacher Dengyo. Now, when I, Nichiren, consider the matter, and I find that in addition to the above passages of the Lotus Sutra, the Nirvana Sutra states, quote, "If there are those who possess differing ideas concerning the three treasures, then truly you should know that these people can no longer hope to take refuge in or rely upon the three pure treasures. They will never gain benefit from any of the precepts, and in the end, they will fail to obtain the fruits of the voice hearer, the cause awakened one, or the bodhisattva." This passage is clearly referring to the essential point of the lifespan chapter of the Lotus Sutra. It subsequently likens the lifespan chapter to a tree, and the pre-Lotus Sutra teachings and the theoretical teaching to its shade. This appears again in the Nirvana Sutra. It is saying that the benefits of the five periods and eight teachings, of the teachings that are still in a certain dimension and that extend beyond, and of the Mahayana and Hinayana, are all like shade, while the doctrine of the essential teaching is like a tree. It is also saying that the benefits gained from the teachings expounded before the lifespan chapter, the lifespan of the Tathagata, right, where he reveals that he as a human attained Buddhahood, but that Buddhahood pre-existed him and time itself without beginning or end. Buddhahood then is a state of being, a state of mind. It is not something he invented or found or created. It's something he revealed within himself, that is, within all things, including you and I. That was the mic drop moment in the Lotus Sutra. Any teachings prior to the Lotus Sutra don't contain that. So how could they provide for a method or a practice that would enable us to attain, invoke, and experience our Buddha nature, our Buddha mind, our Buddha-ness immediately and perfectly? It simply isn't in any of the other teachings. As for your opponent's contention that disbelief does not in itself constitute slander, or his claim that those who disbelieve will not necessarily fall into hell, the fifth volume of the Lotus Sutra states, quote, "If with regard to this sutra one should harbor doubt and fail to be confident in it, take confidence, one will fall at once into the evil paths." The moment you stray from your perfect immediate enlightenment, what choice do you have? You fall right back to zero, right back to your norm, which is, in Buddhism, evil. Again, I have problems with that word, but your ordinary, barraged by distractions and possessiveness and so on, right? Duh. On the whole, you should bear the following in mind. In contrasting the Lotus Sutra with the pre-Lotus Sutra teachings and evaluating their relative superiority and depth, the comparison between the teachings still in a certain dimension and those extending beyond may be carried out on the three levels. What does he mean by the three levels? That's a new one for me. Let's see what this says. The first level of compassion defines the Lotus Sutra as being superior to the pre-Lotus Sutra teachings. The second defines the essential teachings of the Lotus Sutra as being superior to the theoretical teachings of the Lotus Sutra. And the third defines the Buddhism of the wonderful and difficult to understand law as being superior to the essential teachings. The third level corresponds to the third doctrine, which also means the law, Namu Myoho Renge Kyo. So there you have it. That's what this whole Gosho is about. Nichiren's teachings represent the third doctrine. Though the first and second doctrines have been spoken of in the world rather vaguely, like a dream, the third has never been spoken of at all. Though Tendai, Myalo, and Dengyo explained it to some extent, they did not clarify it fully. In the end, they left it for now, the latter day of the law. This is the time referred to as the fifth 500-year period, the time of Mapo, a time of great decline in the spread of the law. Because it just wasn't working for everyone. The previous practices before Myoho Renge Kyo simply weren't enough to affect everyone's life condition. Some, sure, certainly, but the smaller and smaller percentage were able to gain clarity and awareness of their Buddha nature through the earlier teachings. Because the earlier teachings were all meant to lead to the culminating teaching, the Lotus Sutra. And in the Lotus Sutra, there are theoretical and essential teachings. And in those essential teachings, the primary law, teaching, method, universal to anyone, is Myoho Renge Kyo. Those are the three doctrines, right? The first, or what did he didn't call them doctrines, what did he call them? Yeah, the third doctrine. So the first being that the theoretical teachings, the first half of the Lotus Sutra, and everything he taught all the way back to his first realizations of Buddhahood, the flower garland, all are one doctrine of proper conduct, behavior, ways of cleansing one's karma to open the door to Buddhahood. But just to open the door, the essential teachings, the latter half of the Lotus Sutra, are about what it is to walk through that door. And the third doctrine, Nichiren's elucidation of Myoho Rengekyo is the realization, the actual experience of having walked through that door. Does that make sense? However, I was given no information about this doctrinal debate. In other words, you went to a debate that I didn't even know was happening. Ryosho Bo is a person of vast learning. If he had remarked, quote, I am sorry to have to say this, but I am already well aware of the existence of that passage, and had somehow managed to frustrate you, claiming that our side had been defeated, I wonder what could have done. I wonder what you could have done about it. So there's a little bit of an admonition there. You took on a debate with somebody who's quite experienced, quite learned. You kind of lucked out that he didn't recognize what you were talking about. It gave you the upper hand, and actually was your win of the debate. But, you know, he's quite a learned monk. He could have easily said, yeah, I know that one. Then what would you have done? I should have been invited. I should have been consulted before you went to this meeting. At least if I was consulted, I know Ryosho Bo. I know that he might know these things, or I would anticipate his knowledge because he's learned, and I would have given you some good arguments to win over in the debate without risking you're losing the debate. And you have to understand, all of these debates happen publicly in Japan, whether they include Nichiren or not. And so the debates are extremely important. They're not just highfalutin affairs for the rulers of the country or the elite to go, my buddy over here, he won, so that's what we'll do now, and I'll issue an edict. And it may very well be that the situation is in the presence of an elite or an elite group. But the debates are always open to the general public. So what Nichiren is admonishing him for here is because he realizes the importance of the debate, not only to sway authoritarians, but the masses. Because the masses, though they singularly don't have much power, as a group, they can affect a lot of influence. Right? And so that's very important to Nichiren. He himself casts himself as a debater to the elite because he realizes that they need to change their minds in order for the nation to be to inculcate proper behavior and beliefs, right? But he's no less concerned with, we talk about Buddhism rising from the bottom up and the numbers, you know, influencing the leaders. But in a very authoritarian society, it's the leaders that precipitate general knowledge. So he's working that end while his sanghas all over the country are working on the bottom of the pyramid, you see? So both are very important. Anyway, setting aside the fact that he and his fellow monks were ignorant of that passage of commentary, his having said that it does not exist in any of the 60 volumes is due to the reprimand of heaven. So in other words, remember we talked about protection earlier. Toki Jonin is an avid, very fervent practitioner of Nichiren's doctrine and the Lotus Sutra. And because he has fortified his life condition in that way, his opponent fumbled. He may go home and go, oh yeah, I know that passage. But in that moment, he couldn't think of it. So he said something stupid and it lost him the debate. That is to the fortune of Toki Jonin, isn't it? So Nichiren is pointing out, yeah, you lucked out a little bit this time. You know, the heavens, as it were, protected you. But don't take that for granted, right? His offense of slandering the correct teaching became apparent when he encountered an emissary of the Lotus Sutra, in other words, you, Toki Jonin. Moreover, this affair of the debate surely occurred for some reason. Please find out in detail what Otojiro Hyoi of Kajima, Daishinbo, and the chief monk of the main temple are saying. Right, because this was one of theirs, and they lost a debate in public. You shamed them. What are they saying about it? What are they planning on doing about it? Matters such as these are described in detail in the sutra. The votary of the Lotus Sutra is certain to be obstructed by the devil king of the sixth heaven, right? That Akutena Mao, that evil energy of samsaric desire and avarice and craving and distractions. It's always there to take over our minds. That's what the devil king of the sixth heaven is. It's that mental, I keep reminding you, Buddhism is about the mental passion play that's going on between our samsaric animal brain and our higher motivations in life, our desires for freeing ourselves from suffering, enlightenment, right? Among the 10 objects of meditation, this corresponds to the object of diabolic functions. It is the way of the devil to the delight in obstructing good and in causing the production of evil. In other words, anything that distracts us from our higher goal of being enlightened is a devil, a negative influence, an evil, right? Concerning those whom he cannot force to perform evil acts, he is helpless and is capable only of allowing them to create good. As soon as you determine your mind toward your enlightenment, that devil of samsara, he's just like a babbling idiot watching you, kind of in awe. It's an interesting visualization, isn't it? Those who carry out the practices of the two vehicles, he hates unreservedly. He urges them to perform a lesser good. Those who carry out the practices of the bodhisattva, he hinders by encouraging in the direction of the practice of the two vehicles. And lastly, if there is someone who practices the pure and perfect teaching exclusively, he will topple that person into the perfect teaching that is combined with the specific teaching. You may refer to the 8th volume of the Great Concentration and Insight. So he's demonstrating how, depending on your level of practice, how this influence can impact you. Right? Depending on where you are, what it'll do is basically trip you up to lesser teachings. And he just gives them some sort of an order. But the point is, right, that if you allow yourself to be distracted by earthly, samsaric desire, cravings, distractions, then you will lose your impetus, your knowledge, your direct path to Buddhahood. You say that Ryoshobo further claimed that a practitioner of concentration and insight should keep the precepts. However, the 9th volume of Words and Phrases restrains practitioners of the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd of the 5 stages of practice from upholding the precepts. See, these monks, they just want to hold on to these rituals because it gives them power. But in the sutras themselves, that's cast away as earlier Hinayana practices. They're no longer effective. It's not that the teachings are invalid now. They are invalid in that they no longer are effective. Those were practices that were adequate to those times, but no longer adequate, right? This is also clear from the text of the sutra itself. The discrepancy in Great Concentration and Insight is explained by Miao Lo in the form of question and answers. See Volume 9 of On the Words and Phrases. There are two kinds of practitioners at the initial stage of rejoicing. Practitioners of keen faculties may keep the precepts, while those of dull faculties are restrained from doing so. Moreover, there are differences among the former, middle, and latter days of the law, and differences between the practices of Shoju and Shakubuku. We've talked about those before. You should also take into account the great teacher Dengyo's remarks about a tiger in the marketplace. From now on, you need not hold debates in Shimosa. Having defeated the monk Ryoshobo and Shinenbo, Were you to debate with others, it would only dilute the effect, right? You've won. Rest on that. Don't risk slipping in reputation because now your ego demands that you debate everyone. No, you've debated the main players. So now keep quiet or go elsewhere. I hear that these priests have been slandering me for some years now. These mosquitoes and gadflies, as it were, are such fools that they groundlessly revile Nichiren, who is like the Lion King, and when they have neither listened to nor seen him. For persons of the Tendai Lotus School to chant Namo Myoho Renge Kyo themselves and yet give their approval when others repeat the Nembutsu would be strange enough. Yet not only do they fail to remonstrate with them, but they criticize one who does confront the Nembutsu school, which is strange indeed. As for Daishin Bo, as I wrote you before, please strongly admonish him by letter. It would appear that he has been brought back to our resolute mind and conviction by the 10 demon daughters. It would also seem that a messenger from the Devil King has possessed him, but now has parted company with him. It cannot possibly be a lie when the sutra states that, quote, evil demons will take possession of others. There is much that I would like to say, but the messenger is in a hurry, so I'm writing this at night. With my deep respect, Nichiren. So evidently this other gentleman, see if I say anything about it here. I don't see anything about it. But it would seem that this other gentleman, Daishin Bo, has been a practitioner of Nichiren's, but has done, as Nichiren is saying earlier, slipped back to Amida Buddha, the Nembutsu, and is trying to walk a friendly line between the two, which means he's not practicing Myoho Renge Kyo correctly. He's only mouthing it, but he doesn't have it in his heart. He isn't resolved to perfect immediate enlightenment through Namo Myoho Renge Kyo. Rather, he's playing around with it and trying to navigate and be a friend to everyone. That's not good. That is, as he said earlier, Daioku Tenno Mao taking over his mind. So he needs to be admonished. And obviously, Toki Jonin, especially after this debate, Nichiren is telling him to be cautious, but he's also rewarding him for being a very astute student. So that's an interesting Gosho. We're done with that one. And our next one will be This Is What I Heard, which is what prefaces every single sutra. So I'm curious to see what that's about. We'll find out together. And until then, please take care of your health. Thank you again. You know how grateful I am for your participation in this. Whether it's sharing this video and letting other people know about it, which is a form of soju. So that is your bodhisattva practice. To the degree, I know we read a lot about debates, but that doesn't mean you need to do that. You need to feel solid about your own practice before you venture forth. That said, there are situations in our lives where stuff pops up and they challenge you. Don't back away. Never back away. But you have at your disposal tremendous scholarship. If nothing else, these videos. But there's a lot you can find online. There's a lot you can find in the Lotus Sutra itself. Nichiren is full of ways of battling these confrontations. Use it. Just use what you're comfortable with. If you hear me or read something on your own that makes you go, oh, man, that's great. Oh, man, I get that. It relates to my life, like when this was happening with that. Oh, man, I get it. Hang on to that. Write your own words about it. Set it under your butsudan and chant about it. Because those are your insights. And so those are the best teaching tools. when somebody confronts you for some reason, whether it's Buddhism or anything that they confront you about, go back to that thing that elucidated you. It may not even sound like it makes sense in the confrontation, but believe me, it will. Because that's your insight, something you deeply, cellularly know. You don't have to, am I quoting this right? Am I, you know, it's yours. How can it not be right? Don't look for confrontations, but never back away from them either. Oh, with one caveat. Some people just like to injure others. And you need to be able to recognize that when somebody's coming at you in certain ways and spitting ugliness at you, you need to remain, as I say all the time, remain dignified. Hold on to your dignity. Resist the urge to lash back in like manner. As we read just recently, it is that, what's the word? Forbearance. It is that forbearance that is the heart of Buddhism. So even when you're in a debate, you do so with respect, because what you're respecting isn't your opponent. What you're respecting, although it will look that way, what you're respecting is the dignity of what you practice. That trumps everything. Follow? Anyway, thank you again. We'll see you in the next one. I certainly hope so. Don't forget, you can download these as podcasts, these videos, wherever you get their podcasts, the Buddhahood Podcast, right? And until the next one, take care of your health, strengthen your practice, study whenever you can, do a little reading, do a little research, answer your questions. That's the most important thing. We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.